public hearing tonight concerning our bonds. Issuing a bond of $4.2 million to do our water project. Maybe we start off with Devin. Do you want to? So Devin's here from Sunrise Engineering, who's doing our engineering on our project. Maybe he's the best one to kind of give you an outlay of everything about it pertaining to it.
Sure. So I guess we started this process several years ago, looking at different options. With the key issue for the water system being source capacity. Because of a determination that one of the spring sources that the city's relied on for years was classified by the Division of Drinking Water as under the direct influence of surface water and could no longer be used as a culinary water source. That kind of put a big strain on the city's resources for clean water. So the project started from that point, and it's kind of moved from the preliminary engineering report development in 2016 through looking it up at possible options to remedy the situation, different ways we could increase the source capacity, and finally arriving at the best option that we looked at as being building a treatment plant to treat just that water from the affected spring. It would also include a separate spring line up the canyon to collect that water and keep it isolated from the other spring water that's not affected by that under the direct influence of surface water classification. And then also to drill an additional culinary well to supplement the water source for the city. So looking at that and different funding options, we ended up applying for and being granted a funding package from the USDA Rural Development Rural Utility Service that often funds projects like this. The funding package that we got was we thought was good for the time. They granted us about $1 million for the project, at just over $900,000 in grant.
$980,000.
Yeah, so close to like not quite there. So that portion of the funding is grant that will be provided for the project. And it will not be repaid by the city. The rest of the funding for the project, $4.2 million, was provided as a low interest loan that will be paid over 40 years. There's other aspects of the project that affect different things. But because the project provides more source capacity than we need for the population right now, a portion of those costs will be recouped through the assessment of impact fees for the water system. It's always hard to know exactly what's going to happen and how much growth is going to come in and what that will affect. But from the information that we have and the perspective that we have, it was a good option for the city and the city council. Voted to move forward as part of the process of bonding for that $4.2 million loan from the USDA. We are holding a public hearing to accept comments and look at all the considerations that need to be looked at along with that. The design has started, the construction on parts of the project has started. We are about ready to get underway with drilling the test well to make sure that we've got a good source and the locations we've identified. And if we have a good source, we'll continue with the production well at that location. If we don't get good results there, then we'll move to our our next location, see if we get better results there. We're also starting a pilot study for the water treatment plant equipment. We'll run a pilot test for 4 weeks to make sure that the treatment plant equipment that we're planning on will work like we're expecting it to. Once we have those results, then we'll move forward in the final design of the treatment plant. And once that's completed, then we can go out for the construction bids for that. So I think that gives a general overview. I don't think there's any more specifics that would be good to point out for everybody here.
Question yet?
What's the projected growth that it's supposed to support?
I believe the growth rate that we use in the preliminary engineering report was between 1 and 2%. The growth rates that we use in those reports are usually determined by what's set at the governor's office of management and budget. I think for a lot of communities in this area that they are overly conservative on the low side, and that a lot of communities would see higher growth rates than that. Depending on what we get from the well that's drilled, that's a big question mark. The projections were that they would be covered close to the 40-year or the 20-year projection of growth, but it's also likely that we'll need additional source beyond those to meet the requirements.
Is this the well site located north of the canyon?
That's right. That's the first option that we're looking at. Well,
is there a reason why we're hunting water where we know there's less water than there is west of there?
Big benefits of having the well up there is that it costs a lot less to get that water into the system.
I don't know, the volume is significantly less to accommodate growth, right?
It could be.
I'm your closest well, so I got a pretty good idea of what you're going to find when you drill there. Seems pretty low for the city and 4 years of debt.
Part of that reason, that's why we're doing the test well.
Okay. And I only ask this question, having gone through the anxiety of drilling my own well and hunting and pecking for water. We can pull up the water data and see what wells are producing what throughout the county. So that's why I understand that you have to pump water to create pressure. However, at 40 years of debt, maybe the pumps are more valuable than gravity feed to meet projected growth. And if we look at Utah County and Salt Lake's projected growth, with the natural assumption of what we're seeing in the background is going to spill into this valley, 1 to 2% seems pretty low. I would say we could probably draw the building permits for the city right now and see if it's higher than that.
It is. But back when this was started in
2016,
that's where it was at.
Yeah. Please take forever.
Yeah.
However, another reason to continue to drive hard at the plan is already significantly under the amount of water that we're going to need.
It could be.
For 4 years of debt, that's. Seems like a pretty good gamble.
So, do you know how much water you need per household?
Yes. That was part of the analysis in the preliminary engineering report that we have. It's also one of the terms that the state rules have changed on fairly recently, and that will be affecting the cities as well. What we've looked at, it looks like the source requirement per household will go down. from what the current state rules are for the city. But it's hard to say exactly what that'll go to before we get to that.
So theoretically, based upon the flow that you're going to get, not what you're anticipating, but the actual flow, then the city council can approve building permits based upon what you actually have when you figure so much flow per household, right?
I think that's probably part of the next meeting's discussion, but when the state sets the new the system-specific source capacity requirements for Mount Pleasant, that will determine, per state rule, what we have to have for the city.
Sorry, can I just ask really quick, if there are any more comments, can you please tell me your name for the minutes? Because I don't know everyone, sorry. I need to know who's talking for my minutes.
I'm Wayne.
I know you.
I'm Blaster. I need to get my checks every. So then if you go to the cost, which is about $100,000 a year for 40 years, then that's one issue. The city has to budget for a long time, past some of our lifetimes. So now we're talking our kids and grandkids. But also, the other issue is the fact that we know there's going to be growth, but it has to be controlled so that we don't make a big dust bowl out of this area. So it's just, I guess my question is, are you guys looking at all of those things, and are you guys looking at all those things to make sure that your decisions are in fact beneficial to the future now, doesn't it?
Well, I'll speak to that point. To start with, we had some contractors come in here several meetings ago. I don't remember what meeting it was. But they're proposing 450 homes and some 70 town homes. We told them they're probably 2 years out. And then something that's not being discussed along with the well is the spring and the treatment plant that's going to be going into that treatment plant along with the well. And so before we ever get started on that, before we can allow more building, these are things that we've been discussing, been talking about, yes.
But we know what the spring's producing for a number of plant units. That's a known quantity.
300 gallons a minute.
The volume of water that we'll be able to treat there.
Yeah.
The well is the underlying. And if I understand you correctly, you're telling me the state is going to lower the required amount per house.
Yes.
We're already out of water, which that would drive building permit access by lowering that amount, which would increase the problem backside. So lowering the amount of water per household doesn't help our water volume situation. It potentially makes it worse. And the city's gonna have a hard time telling somebody no that owns the ground, because to my knowledge across the state, the whole state's in this issue. I'm a builder. I've never known a builder and a landowner to not be able to get a building permit and build regardless of what the municipality had for water. That's fairly expensive legal fight.
No, we can put a moratorium on building for 6 months, and we're looking at doing that.
That's actually on our agenda tonight.
Yeah.
However, you gentlemen know that's a fight. It'll end up being another fight. How much value is in that?
Well, it kills your economy. It does lots of things.
Yeah. I don't know why a contractor would want to come in here and build homes if we don't have the infrastructure to support it. I wouldn't waste my money on it. I wouldn't come in here and build a bunch of homes and try to get people to move in if I didn't have the infrastructure and the water to feed them.
Unfortunately, in that trade, there's not a lot of concern about that. There's money for the home, and that's...
Somebody else's problem.
That's somebody else's problem.
Somebody else's problem.
Yeah.
If I could chime in here, I'm sorry for coming late and interjecting, but what the state requires and what we're actually using are two completely different things. And so I think what the state is requiring for Mount Pleasant specifically, they look at historic use, and then they establish a capacity number that we're supposed to meet that's in line with our historical use. So it's more, in my opinion, it's more accurate than just saying everybody in the state uses 800 gallons per day per house. And to me, that gives us a better understanding and a much clearer view of, okay, how much water do we actually have? Not necessarily what the state says that we need, but what are we using and what do we have? So I think in that light, it helps the governing body make better decisions and more informed decisions going forward on how they handle development. So
I have a question on, I'm really concerned about debt. And I know that you've already issued bonds relative through the CIB, and it was for water resource revenue bonds. So what did that go for, and what are we still owing on that? That now we're going to add on top of that another debt in bonds. So what? How much longer is the CIB loan out there for? And on top of repaying that, what does this add to that debt, and for how long? And my second question is, are you anticipating raising our water rates as, I mean, you said impact fees, but if impact fees don't cover your repayment, are you going to be in a position to raise our rates, and are you thinking about that and thinking of phasing that?
So just to start off with, as far as the water rates, as we applied for this grant, again, they base it off of the medium income in Mount Pleasant, which is $41,000 a year is medium income. They say that we should be paying 1.75% of that as our water bill, which puts, we're way low on where the state and everybody else says we should be charging for water. Without the impact fees, the initial study was that the water rates would have to go up $7 to pay for the bond.
Where do residents' power fees
compare
land with the rest of the state?
We're probably actually lower. We're lower than Rocky Mountain. Did that answer, Claudia?
Well, so you say $7, so I'm assuming that if impact fees don't come in, because who knows what building's going to be, I'm assuming then that your plan is to raise water rates. You just don't know how much that will be at this point, but we should all assume that that will increase, even though what percentage of our population in Mount Pleasant is on fixed income, that are elderly and...
Everybody's on a fixed income. I don't care who you are, because your wage is only so much, and so everybody, in my opinion, is on a fixed income.
I disagree. I think that many of our elderly that are on a very fixed income relative to Social Security and find it difficult to pay. So the heat program pays for their heat, but it doesn't pay for their water. So water is one of the issues that I think they find a hard place to find a resource to pay those bills. And you didn't answer my question about CIB. How many more years do you have on that bond that you took out for water resource, which I don't know what it paid for?
So when was that took out?
That was 2010, wasn't it?
I think it's to be...
Probably 30 years.
No. It's the road bond.
So you don't know exactly how much debt you're putting the city in with bond already out there and having another...
No, because we need the water, so it's like, what do we do? We got to go after water because we need to get it.
But what is the number? I think the public, we have a right to know what debt you're putting the city in relative to past bonds versus these bonds. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that, what's left to pay on that one.
Or what the total was, I'm not sure. It seems to me that we built a new tank up there by the others for storage, and then we actually drilled a well at the cemetery with that project that, as you know, didn't produce what we were hoping. And we redeveloped the springs with that money, and it turned out that through that process, the springs were contaminated from surface water. So whether that was the case before or not, I don't know, but that's where the 300 gallon a minute is lost now. So if you think about that, and if that well would have produced 600 gallon a minute, and we was getting the 300 gallon a minute through the springs, we may not even be talking about this project.
Well, that project, the other project also covered all the hydrants. And
hydrants, yeah. Some more fire protection, but most of it was source and storage.
Yeah.
So, can I have just one more question?
No, we actually went backwards. And
then I'll be quiet. I just have one more question. I know that you're also entering an anticipation note, which I'm not really familiar with that, but it's anticipation of getting the bonds, and you have 3 years to pay off that anticipation note. Is the anticipation not going to be for the whole principal of the bond, and it's a 3-year payback? So is that in case something doesn't go right with this whole bond? Can you explain to me how the anticipation note is flowing into this whole issue with USDA?
But I guess the easiest way to look at the bond anticipation note is like a bridge loan between the construction project payments and then when the USDA loan will come in. They typically require us to get interim financing to cover during construction, which is very typical. In this project, we may not actually have a bond anticipation note, depending on what the interim financing requires. If that's private lending and they do have different requirements, the bond anticipation note is a typical security for that, but in this case, we may or may not have that. But
so you haven't pursued that. You haven't talked to any lending agencies or possible anticipation note, because I read in your notice that probably would come at 4%, which is very high.
We've already got it lined up with the local bank, and it is 1.17%.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that bridge loan you're talking about a loan that if we have expenses that we need to pay before the funding comes in, that keeps our contractors, our suppliers, all of the expenses paid through the construction process?
Now,
Rural development won't pay until the end of the project, so this is
right.
To pay everything up.
So that was the way I understood. So
yes,
and I assume that that'll be the case, that there'll need to be some bills paid prior to rural development's funding.
Right.
I think these are all things that have to be done. And in answer to that bond, that existing bond, I would be under the understanding that our current water rates are covering that.
Yes.
And so to say that they're not already paid, if our current rates are already paying them, and we up the rates $7 to cover this new bonding, that's basically what it's going to be. The existing rates are covering the previous bond, and I'm not sure when it was even established. So I don't know if that was so much of a concern. What we ran into was our water rates were so low that we couldn't qualify for grants. We had to go in and raise our rates to even qualify for additional loans or funding, grants. So it's been an eye-opener for me as we went through this process. The project, the spring, the well, it, that that's what water we've got available to us, the cheapest water we can find. And if we have to add more water, we have to go find more sources. And the project, the treatment plant, is built in modules, so if we have to increase our water demand and we have to go find more water, then we add another module. And so it's not like we're going to do this project and then all of a sudden we're shot down because of too much growth or whatever, but we do have the capability, and there is more water, but it's going to obviously cost more money to get. This spring is water that we have, and the plant is designed to handle what it's got. And then some.
Yeah.
And you know, if our growth exceeds what we've got, then we'll have to add another module. Then we'll have, you know, hopefully the growth will, with impact fees and the increase in rates, will cover that. But I think that's, it'll be something that's down the road. I don't think it's going to be, I mean, this what do you anticipate this is going to be online, a year?
18 months to me. I think to Claudia's point too, as far as people on fixed income, when we talk about $7, that's the average increase throughout the whole city. There are ways you can build your rate structure so those that actually use more water are paying the lion's share of that $7, but the average is still the same. So if you set your base rate at a certain dollar amount for so many gallons, a lot of times widows and people that are smaller families may not even get to that threshold, so they're just paying the base rate, and then you can build the bulk of the bond back into the overage amounts. So there are ways you can be sensitive to that and still accomplish what you're right. trying to accomplish.
Go ahead.
So where's the location of the water treatment?
It's going to be right there by the acid, what we call the acid house, just over the flood dam.
Just east of the flood dam?
Yes.
Is the new water treatment plant?
Yes.
So is it safe to assume that this plan is to supply water for the current footprint and not for the city? You chose this location because it's the most advantageous to the ones that you have right now.
Yeah, and where the rest of the infrastructure is as well.
So, and I ask this to answer part of your question, should we have a plan that supports new development and assign the cost of this to the new development to take the burden off of the existing citizens in the form of impact fees? And does this well and this infrastructure support getting the water to that location for future growth? Because obviously the well, the spring is producing enough water if we get the treatment plant to fix the current situation, right? The well is for future growth.
Close.
To add to it.
The spring's real close to what we need.
So we'll we be able to reach the locations where the city council and our planning board, I'm hoping, has projected our growth or is looking to push our growth for the city, so it's not just kind of a scattered mess that the residents of Mount Pleasant have to try to scoop up, and we're not pumping water downhill to pump back uphill to pump across to pump back down. And in turn, we can better utilize impact fees of that new growth to help fund this project, because I think the 1% is ridiculously low for what our future growth is going to be, and that's a place where this project could receive funding from, legitimate impact fees from pre-planned areas where we grow the city, right?
Yeah.
Or homes that are already within the city with, you know, would pay impact fees because it's storage that, or not storage, but source that is driven by demand from growth. So those all are eligible impact fee uses. And so whether it's development within or without the city, you're right, impact fees would help offset the cost of that bond debt.
Yeah.
And the impact fees have already been implemented.
Correct. And the location will support the drill. I mean, the well being up there versus down lower is going to be a lot easier to pump down the well than, I mean, it's gravity is up there.
Yeah.
That's another reason for the treatment plan up there too.
Yes.
So, in addition to that, have you considered pulling in folks that you're already supporting in the city from the unincorporated areas?
Most likely, no.
I didn't hear the question.
That's a tax base for pulling out
citizens around.
Mount Pleasant, by full amount of services, and not put their hands on any of that money. And I use myself as an example, because I'm your closest neighbor to this project. Tax dollars don't go to the city. I do everything in Mount Pleasant City. Mount Pleasant City provides me with my power. And I set my tax dollars with no value added to the county. And Mount Pleasant has a lot of that in and around.
There's pros and cons with annexing. Two that you have to look at. Two's the extra cost of road, police, a lot of extra things too.
You're already policing my road because you own the ground above me and below me.
But I think
two patrols there.
I think that we would look at those situations on a case by case, because you can't just say, well, we're going to take everybody that's within this area and annex them and put them on the system, because infrastructure costs are different for one person. Maybe somebody's right on the boundary and there's a main line right there, and it makes sense to hook them up and bring them into the city and collect that tax base. But if you've got somebody that's, you know, half a mile out of town, who pays for the infrastructure to get there? And is there if the city participates, what's the, you know, you look at the return on the investment from sales of water. So
if you take the ground, and this is in support of your plan, from your water treatment plant to 9th East, the county owns, and you're going to run all brand new infrastructure from, and you're going to collect no money.
There'll be nothing.
From your treatment to 9th East.
We've already got the water line there. That's why we're doing it where we're doing it. So we won't have to run any infrastructure from the acid house down to the city.
And it's large enough to accommodate what you're...
Yes.
An individual.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the big thing. The other thing is too, is if we annex in, then it also changes our growth needs too, because then all of a sudden the county requires you 5-acre lots or whatever your grandfather did back then, and then all of a sudden you come into the city limits, then it's able to cut down those lot sizes to 1/2 acre or whatever our zoning is. So again, then you got to look at all the infrastructure we have to do to that too.
But you said 60 townhouses and how many homes?
450 homes.
That includes the townhomes.
That includes the townhomes.
Is that within Mount Pleasant proper right now, or is that outside that you're going to have to expand into those areas?
We'd have to annex it and expand to it.
So it is outside now.
Part of it's right in the boundaries.
Part of it is in the city limits, part of it is not.
So somewhere down the road, you are going to be annexing.
Yeah, but the developer pays for that, pays for the cost of the infrastructure and everything, and then we annex. And
yeah,
like he says, we gain the tax base off of that.
Plus the expenses associated with that annexation.
Yes,
that's true.
Yep.
So what happens if we continue the drought? The aquifers appear to be going down. You've drilled this well, you're pulling water from it, and all of a sudden it starts to affect us in a negative way. What happens then? That's a great question.
You're planning on pulling from my aquifer and a subdivision below me. The wells are in a direct line with where you're planning on sinking that well.
So
all the farmers have had to go down upwards of 80 feet below us here to get water.
Mm-hmm.
Already. I mean, there's a lot of hypothetical things that's, you know, we're discussing here, but bottom line is, we're right now on alert with our water system that we got right now. We gotta do something. And so us as a council and the mayor, we're trying to do what we think's the very best for this city, and then down the road, we've told them contractors, they're on hold until we can provide enough infrastructure and water to take care of them.
I think that's what we're looking for, Paul, but we're kind of picking your brains, because we want to make sure that you're doing the what-ifs so that we don't get to a, you know what.
Well, I can answer that too. In May, we was here every week. Every week of May, we was in here picking each other's brains and going over and trying to decide on this impact fees, trying to decide on annexation, this water system. We've had several meetings even during the day. I think as a city council and a mayor, all these questions have been run through here. But we know what we're faced with. We know what we gotta have down the road. And if we don't know, we're not gonna make a decision until we do know.
So Wayne, I think there's a couple things that you could consider if that happened. You could consider which is the most primary essential need, and that's the drinking water in your house. So there could be a situation where you get in a, you know, your wells are dry, you may have to just say no outside watering. Because that consumes a lot of water. In our winter time, we're good. We've got plenty of water, but it's the middle of August in the peak day when outdoor water use and indoor water use are being used together, and puts a lot of strain on the system. So, you know, we can talk about what is, and you have to have a contingency plan for those things. But I think in those situations, we wouldn't be the only one faced with that in this valley. I think a lot of people would be scrambling, and to me, I think that would be the first thing that you would do is say, okay, which is our essential need here, and drinking water, obviously. And so we may put a restriction on outside watering for a time, so until we can get things resolved. So there are things that you can do in an emergency situation to mitigate that crisis to some degree. So
then there's something else that we haven't figured in here, that we have figured as a council, the new irrigation system. When we get that new irrigation system in, it's going to take and get rid of a whole lot of culinary water that's being used by our churches, our schools, the city here. How many gallons did we figure that was? Do you remember how many? It's upwards of
130 million gallons we figure were used on outside water use
annually.
See, so that irrigation system is going to help us too. When that comes in, that's going to help this culinary water situation again. It's going to lift it and help there.
Yeah.
So, question for Sunrise. That number seems real low for all this infrastructure. Is that number from 2016?
The 4.2 or the $5 million number?
Yeah.
No, it was updated in 2020, which even from 2020, that number has changed quite a bit.
I would say it's...
It does include some contingency in our parts of the project that can be shifted and adjusted as we need to accommodate that.
Trying to cover our bases here.
Aspects that we'll kind of have on deck or as a backup, so that if we get to the primary improvements and they're done, that we can, okay, what else do we need and get more done with that project.
So the follow-up of this, the irrigation project, which is also my immediate neighbor, my understanding, replumbing the entire city is not part of that money of irrigation company secured to build that. But that's the plan. So is that another bond on the city?
We can't answer that right now because we don't know how the funding grants that we're going to get and what we've got a plan for.
Right now, though, that's a fairly accurate assessment of what it looks like.
There will be some, probably, most likely.
Is there going to be incurred costs for running that across unincorporated ground? Redo right-of-ways to move the plumbing?
I doubt it.
Should be all more back in existing right-of-ways.
The right-of-ways will already be there.
Everything's already there.
Yeah, I don't know, it'd be nice to have somebody that can speak to that plan. My understanding is the old system's not going to work at the time being for the new dam. And that at least get from the dam location down to Act East is more than likely going to change.
The biggest change will be we will separate from the farmers and the city will have its own pond.
We still bring it down the main.
Yes.
Yeah, it's still going to come down the main. Here's.
Yep.
We will put that Pennstock pond.
Yeah.
We're going to have a whole bunch more storage.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. The way it's working out.
And right at the hydro, when it comes out right at the hydro, then we'll split it off, farmers and then city up there. So.
Well, I have been in your position before. I hope you don't see me as being adversarial, but I think it is important that we know what your vision is for Mount Pleasant. So right now, I'm looking at water, which is probably our most critical need. Heat is water irrigation, probably will be a bond. You see it as a critical need. And then the next big one that has been ignored for years and years and years is roads. Are you still thinking in the future, sometime very near future, to do something about the roads? Or are you going to wait until you do irrigation, which may be pushed back to who knows when? And you've got this 40-year bond with this water structure. So what are you envisioning? What's your timeline in phasing in all these critical needs that have kind of been not addressed for so long, and now they all seem to be bunching up against each other all at once?
It's not part of this meeting, so I hate to go into too much detail, but the roads will be done when the irrigation system is done, because the irrigation lines will come back out into the roadways. That's the biggest reason why we hate to do any more roads than we have to. Because we'll be digging up the new roads.
New roads with irrigation then?
Yep.
And then something we've done now, if we went out and we found a new company, we figure we can do the road maybe for like, what was it, one-third of the original cost?
Yeah.
We found the new road base that they make now, that they take the existing road base and mix it with some stuff and lay it back down. It's up there on 4th East now. If you go across there, you'll see it. And it's held up real well so far to that traffic. And so, but that's one-third the cost. Yep. So, you know, we've been working hard. We've been putting our heads together, and we're trying to do what the best for this city. I mean, absolutely, we go every... First and foremost, we think about the citizens, and especially those that's on fixed income. There's not anything that we do here as a council that the senior citizens don't come up in our minds about raising costs and that type of thing. And that works, and been willing to come in here whenever we've had to for special sessions and work sessions and whatnot, trying to put this together so that we do have a vision, so that we do have this covered. So we're working at it.
That's right.
Well, we appreciate this input. Don't think we don't, because this is what, you know, a lot of your ideas are helpful.
Mont?
Now, given the current situation with water, has the city currently got a moratorium on building permits right now?
Currently, no.
Why haven't we? I mean, we don't have the water, yet we're building new buildings. It doesn't make any kind of economic sense because we're struggling with water. And another issue I wanted to mention to you too is you mentioned that when the irrigation pond or the new pond is built, that that'll take a lot of pressure off the culinary water. But you correct me if I am wrong, but I think the irrigation water comes strictly from runoff in the mountains. And we're in a drought condition, and this drought might continue for heaven knows how long. And so I don't think it's wise to use that in our calculations of where we're going as far as water. That's a blessing from heaven, there's no question about that, but still, we've been in drought now, what, 5, 6 years? And in my lifetime, I'm 83 years old, and I don't, 84, I guess, and I don't remember a time in my life that we've had more drought than what we have right now. I remember one time as a young man, that, it was bad enough that at least the irrigation well we had went dry. But this is the worst one that I remember.
Yeah.
Well, we're hoping, Walt, that we're just hoping that by having more capacity, more storage capacity, that we can catch that early runoff and hold it, and then have more water, irrigation water. Once the new system's in, I don't think that there'll be, will the colony water be hooked up? I think once new irrigation system's in, if they don't have the irrigation system, they're probably not going to use colony water to do their house.
Well, that might be a fact there, but I don't mean to imply that the pond that you're going to build is a bad thing, because I think that has been necessary for a good number of years. We have let Delta, if I might, have an awful lot of water over the years from the early runoff. And you know, Delta's entitled, I don't know how many acre feet of water Delta's entitled to, but with the early runoff, that water is free water. It should be stored, and could be stored very easily. Cut it for a good number of years, which would have taken the burden off in the later part of the summer.
And that's what we're trying to do.
But the Cox Decree won't let us store it either. So that's what we're fighting to get the storage in.
That's 2 days, right?
Huh? 2 days, yes.
2 days.
Cox Decree says 2 days.
Yeah, it's a,
so we're fighting lots of things.
It's an uphill battle.
My name is Joe Strain. I'm a resident here about 4 years of Mount Pleasant. I'm concerned about a couple of things. And you had mentioned this new well. It is adjacent to other wells. And has any kind of a study been done to determine the impact on taking water from the other wells in the area?
Yeah, we did a hydrogeologic analysis in 2016 when we started it, and looked at a lot of different wells and well sites. It's also something that comes up in the water rights process. And if the state thinks that there's a high potential for impact to other users, that won't be allowed. The particular location that we're looking at the moment is targeting fracture that may or may not impact, you know, other wells in the area, especially the volume that we're talking about and looking at there. I think it'd be hard to say definitively whether it would impact other wells or not. That's definitely something the state looks at in grant and change applications sometime.
Are there plot maps that show what this projected well, where it's going to be? I'm not familiar necessarily with the whole area, but where can we go to understand what this plan, what it looks like?
We do have a preliminary engineering report. I don't know if that's been posted anywhere, but it's something we can put up and make available. You can see the whole picture of it.
It'll surely be helpful.
Don't
I know this is the area for this bond issue, but if you look at the irrigation issue,
they do, but it's hard to.
This is the dam that you're proposing building, probably one of the canyons that's east of the Harley Pond, where we currently get our irrigation stored. Is that correct?
That's the end of it.
It's up the hill.
Have you been up Second South to the power plant? As you go up over the hill, that's what they call the flood dam.
That
little hill, that's what everybody refers to as the flood dam.
Okay.
The well and the treatment will be just east of that, there's a little cinder block building, and that's where the well and the treatment plant will be.
What you're calling the acid house?
Yes. They got a nickname for that for some reason, I don't know why.
They used to treat the water with acid.
The pond will be to the left of the road.
To the north.
But, okay. But because of the cost decree, how are we going to be able to build that?
What we're trying to do is the Gooseberry Mineral Water was deeded over to Sanpete County as of about a month ago. So our hope is that we're going to trade our Gooseberry Mineral Water, let it go down the Sanpete River, and we'll be able to catch our Pleasant Creek water, which will save us lots of money on the infrastructure, because the original plan was that we'd come down Fairview Canyon, then it would have a canal along the foothills and be pumped and fed to each one of the cities.
Why not let it go down the natural flow?
That's what we're going to do and catch our water up there. So it'll be a trade.
Exchange.
And it'll be an exchange.
How fair is that? What kind of volume are you talking about with Plan A, Plan B? The Gooseberry, you call it the Gooseberry, isn't it the water that's coming out of Schofield?
It's just on top of Fairview Canyon.
It comes down Fairview Canyon Creek.
It will come down Fairview Creek.
This part of the Narrows project?
Yes.
Okay, so you're saying you're trying to build a canal from Fairview Canyon over to our area?
No. To save the cost, we're going to trade Gunnison Delta, the water that they have been getting down our creek will go down Sanpete River out of Fairview Canyon, and we'll capture our water at our mouth of our canyon.
At the mouth of the canyon, behind the dam that you're going to build up on the hill.
Right.
Okay. What about taking that flow that goes down Sanpete River and building a turnout, so to speak, and pump the water back up?
If we'd done that, it'd have to come out clear at the mouth of Fairview Canyon, and then you go back into the property owners, the easements and everything now to get that water across. When it was first designed in the early 50s, 40s, would have been easy, but today it would be a nightmare in heck to get the easements to come that water from Fairview Canyon all the way across.
Where does it naturally flow?
Down Fairview Creek, hits the Sanpete River, and goes down to Gunnison Reservoir.
Sanpete River is not that far from us.
Right.
Could we, this is just an idea, building a structure there to capture our part of the water, pump it back up the hill to us.
We're doing the same thing in exchange, but we're going to capture water up there so we don't have to pump it.
So the volume that we are entitled to from the Fairview Canyon water, that we're going to trade away in hopes of getting something captured up here on the side of the hill.
Yes.
The volume, and so.
It'll be a volume change. Exchange.
They're about the same, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's.
It's about a the same exchange.
Okay, because I mean, we have waited for that water coming from the Narrows project for years. And to give that away in hopes of being able to get something up here on our own hillside, something closer, the dam, it just seems like there's a lot of obstacles. You seem to be confident that making that trade will allow us to build a dam and store water, in spite of the Cox decree.
Yes.
How does that work?
Because we're entitled to the water, so we're basically, what we're doing is we're still sending the same amount of water down the river. They don't care how they get the water down the river as long as it comes down the river. We're just capturing that water up our canyon instead of pumping it back up to that mouth of our canyon.
Do you think we'll have that much water behind this dam?
Yes.
And relying on the runoff?
Runoff.
It'd be the same runoff that we're getting on the other side of the mountain that we're exchanging for. It's all runoff.
Yeah.
The only difference is the runoff that would be up here currently, instead of running past us and going to Delta, would stay in the storage pond.
Got it.
Is there storage on the Gooseberry, right?
If you go over to Fairview right now, there's nothing coming out.
There probably is. That's probably what we're able to store.
No water coming down.
Very, very, very little. Fairview's getting spotty water, maybe once a week if they get a opportunity to water. They're leaving the faucets on just hoping they get water to go to their sprinklers. And we would have had to run a canal all the way across underneath the foothills and all, like you said, like the mayor said, all the easements and all the infrastructure to bring that water across.
Would never afford it.
We would never, you think afford this, can you imagine what that project would have cost?
Well, I just look at the idea of letting it go through natural channels, and once it's closer to town, pump it where you need it. That wouldn't cost as much as getting all those easements between here and Fairview.
This here.
You'd still have the easements from Sam Pitch River coming back up the city too. And then you'd have to put it, pump it above to pressurize it.
Yeah.
Isn't it true without the Narrows Dam and the reservoir up there, you're not getting any extra water?
Not as much.
It's the same amount coming off the mountain. And in fact, seems like Pleasant Creek has more flow than Fairview Canyon Creek.
Right.
So we're actually, if you can do that.
If we can pull it off, it'll be a good one.
Yes.
It'll be a good one.
And I think part of the reason why we're able to store it, like Justin just brought up, I think the Narrows water has a storage right to it. Because it's not affected by the Cox Decree. If you look at the Cox Decree, anything that comes from the other side of the mountain is not under the Cox Decree. So like Spring City is being able to do one because they have their tunnel that comes through. That water is not under the Cox Decree, so they can store it. So
how many acre feet approximately do you think this Mount Pleasant will get out of that Narrows project? We're giving Corbin County and Emmer County, but somewhere close to 500, maybe 600 acre feet of water.
More than that.
The reservoir will be at least 500 acre feet.
500 acre feet.
With another 200 acre feet on top for flood prevention.
And that'll be split between Fairview and.
You're talking about how.
No, that's ours. That'll just be ours. We're going to take the existing flood dam. We bought some ground to the north. We're going to expand that, push it up. We're going to use the existing structure that's up there and build into it. And then the engineers made a comment that they hoped that we could use it as flood control. And that's what the mayor's talking about, an additional 200 acre feet for flood control. Now we go from 500 to 700 acre feet, which is a lot of water, a lot more than what we got right now by leaps and bounds.
What's the Parvis Pond right now, you know?
I don't know.
10 acre, is it even 10 acre feet?
Okay.
It takes 10 acres, and I don't even know if it'd be 10 acres.
So significantly.
Yes.
Yeah,
we're talking a lot bigger.
I know this is super important, but I'm here for city council, and we've just taken a big tangent.
Yeah.
We're here for culinary water, right?
Yep, we are.
So.
Yeah, it just come up because I explained that once we get the irrigation system, it'll take the pressure off the culinary water.
I got to leave at 5 in the morning, but let's kick it on city.
Okay. And I make a motion, will you adjourn this meeting?
Okay.
I'll second that motion.
This is all set in the break.
Hypothetical question.
Yeah, I don't know.